You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bosoff. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, Francis of Assisi said we should all preach the gospel and if necessary, add some works. Come on, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is our time, the greatest time of the church. I want to talk to you this morning, a word needed in South Africa, in our world. I want to talk to you about the power of vision. Power of vision. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, the Passion Translation says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. A lot of people have lost their way during this COVID pandemic because they're no longer connected to the house of God. 500,000 children no longer in the education system that have just disappeared over the last year. If that does not concern you, I don't know what will concern you. What is the future of those children? A 10-year-old falling pregnant, a sign of despair and hopelessness. And all we want to do is talk about our religion and our doctrine. Proverbs 29 verse 18, the Message Bible says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I think we see this all over the world. Afghanistan, places all over the world, we see lack of leadership because there's a lack of vision in our world. We are being told that we just have to survive. But God never called us to survive. God called us to thrive. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Come on, if you believe your greatest days are ahead of you, jump out of your seat there in front of your television and give the Lord a praise this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision. The Amplified Bible, the Bible says, the people perish. So God makes it very clear. When people lose vision, vision talks about the future, a better tomorrow. What happens to them? They cast off restraint. They become hopeless. They become frustrated. They turn to other things. If you look at our world, it is symptomatic of no vision. I mean, what young person doesn't want an education? And it's okay to say do education on a computer, but 92% of our people do not have access to data. Young people that should have been doctors, lawyers, politicians, the future of our country is being destroyed right under our eyes. And all we can talk about is keep the church closed, as if the church is enemy number one. And the taverns and the pubs and the clubs, and I have footage of this. I'm building a case all over Pretoria, all over Johannesburg, all over Bloemfontein, where the police shows up, but the police does nothing. But when you are 51 in a church, it becomes a criminal activity. Can somebody explain that to me? That South Africa is a Christian nation. We've lost our freedom to worship God. Can anybody explain that to me? And it's very clear that the decay in our country is taking the voice of the church out of society. So the Bible is clear. Where there is no vision, people perish. A church will perish, a home, a family, a business, a society, a city. I go back to Bloemfontein and I actually want to weep when I see how that city has deteriorated because of no vision and bad management. A beautiful city that was known as the City of Roses is now a city of chaos. No vision. No leadership. No forward-mindedness. No vision. We do not plan for a better tomorrow. No vision. We don't expect a better tomorrow. It's like many people are just living from day to day. We need people of vision. We need leaders of vision. We need political leaders that can unite South Africa with a vision for every person in South Africa. Come on, whether you are black or white, young or old, it doesn't matter. We cannot fight about yesterday any longer and fight about apartheid. We have to talk about a new, better South Africa, and we have to give everybody a place under the sun to be part of the rebuilding of this country in Jesus' name. No vision, people perish. A man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to his past. I sat with religious leaders. I'll tell you, I am not tired, but I've grown so weary to sit with religious leaders that cannot see the state of the nation. I understand when politicians play their political games, but when pastors turn and look the other side and cannot see the crises, plural, of what we are facing, how people, 60% more people are depressed, young people, 60% more violent crime over the last year, gender-based violence, etc., etc. This is not a negative picture, but it is a negative picture, but it is the result of no vision. Just go sit in a corner and be quiet. The most powerful voice in the country is muted. The voice of the church. More than ever, our world needs vision. Miles Monroe said, I think that the greatest gift God ever gave man is not the gift of sight, but the gift of vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. So my future, I don't find my future on CNN. I don't find my future on ENCA. I find my future on the tablets of my heart where God talks to me. Amen. When a person doesn't have a vision, they live by their eyes. That means we live by what we see. We're afraid by what we see. We are controlled by external circumstances. And what do we lose? Hope. Hope, which is the most powerful thing a human being can exist or can have. The Bible calls God the God of hope. Hope talks about a better future. I mean, people talk and they just talk about a bad future. Prepare for wave 4. Then we know wave 5 is coming. Then we know wave 6 is coming. Then we know wave 7 is coming. When is it going to end? It's not going to end, truth be told. We have to deal with this as it comes, but we cannot lose hope, and we cannot lose our faith in God, and we cannot lose our testimony for God. We have to learn to deal with this like we have dealt with everything else and refuse to be afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Can I have an amen in Jesus' name? So when I hear some people talk about the future, I have no witness to agree. I don't believe this is the final hour. I believe it's almost the final hour. But if you're not coming to the evening meetings, please watch it, because I'm talking about the end time and certain things that still has to take place before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do understand that Satan will try to preempt the return of Jesus Christ and disprove biblical prophecy, but God is in control. And before the return of Jesus, there will be the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. The stadiums that are empty, we will fill. Not with soccer fans, but with people that will come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see tens and tens of thousands of people get saved in every one of those meetings. Oh, come on, Christian. Praise God this morning in this building as if you are 10,000 in Jesus' name. Bible says in Acts 2 verse 7, then it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Whether you're educated, uneducated, whether you're a president or a pauper, it doesn't matter where you are now. It matters where you are heading. You cannot change yesterday, but you must have a vision for tomorrow, a better tomorrow. You may be sitting in an environment, as many are watching on One Gospel and in TBN and many other stations in Pakistan, in India, and you are surrounded by poverty and distress. Don't allow what is around you to determine who you are. You keep your eyes on Jesus. God is working in you. God is a God of visions and dreams. And a vision is the most powerful thing that you can possess, because a vision inspires hope, and a vision will get you from where you are to where God has planned for you to be. A vision will get you out of your pit, out of your prison, into the palace that God has for you. A vision will lead you into a place of restoration that God has for you. So God says, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. I said it last week, it's true, I still see visions. I'm not dreaming. When I dream, it's a nightmare, okay? Thank God I still see visions. Amen. I still see so many things that have to happen. That's why this is not my reality. That's why I cannot bow to the pressure of this that people want to make a reality for all of us. No. I cannot succumb to it, and I cannot bow to it, and I cannot conform to it, because I do not come from this world. I hail from God, and I have a different picture on the inside of me. It's not a picture of devastation and destruction. It's not a picture of a church in lockdown. It's a picture of a church in revival in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, by the power of God, that churches will open stronger than ever, bigger than ever, more powerful than ever, and the enemies of the cross will be removed by God Himself. You will see. Watch the next 12 months. Old men will dream dreams. If you're dreaming, that means you're still alive. That means you still have a tomorrow. 85, ready not to retire, but ready to refire, to climb another mountain. Come on, in Jesus' name. Your best days are ahead of you. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10, his eyes not seen in the natural, neither his ear heard in the natural, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What end is our hearts? It's what people tell us. It's fear, unbelief, the scenario of the day, the agenda of evil workers. That's what controls people. And I pray that God gives political leaders wisdom. Really, I do mean it, because it's like many people are out of touch, like many pastors and bishops are out of touch about what's happening on the world. There's a brewing frustration and agitation that people feel that they are being denied certain rights. And I mean, it's bigger than this country has ever seen. I pray for wisdom, you know, that the government will accept the church and give the church a seat at the table, that the government will actually listen to the church and make the church part of the solution in South Africa. Can I have an amen? We're not the enemy of the state. We are the best asset that the state has. And in case you haven't noticed, this virus have spiraled out of control while churches have been locked down. So never again say that a church is a super spreader. You've never been able to prove it. Now church leaders are beginning to question, what is the agenda? Because this is no longer about safety. Many people are vaccinated. We control crowds better than anybody else. And yet we are being marshaled with a strong fist. And you think Christian leaders are not going to question this? Why the church? I'm already a target, so I'll say whatever I want to say. Thank you. And it's going all over the world. Thank you. Somebody said to me this week, you've brought this upon yourself. I said I did, because I opened the window just like Daniel. I opened the window. Thank you. Yes, I did. And I prayed louder, and I preached louder, louder, louder. Not against anybody, but for the purpose of God and for the cause of Christ, we will open the window bigger. And we will preach louder, and we will shout our cause louder, because without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for the future of the world. Say amen. Come on, I know what I'm saying. So visions and dreams, listen, comes from God. So the leader of a nation must get God's vision. That's why it's a problem when we take God out of our constitution. It really is a problem. You know, I love history. Because yesterday teaches us about tomorrow. And while the whole world is wanting to turn to socialism, which eventually will evolve in Marxism or communism, the very people that came out of socialism, communism, Marxism, countries like Hungary, Poland, all these countries that lived under that oppressive regime have all turned to Christianity. And all those countries are now governed by Christian conservative or Christian democratic parties, because they realized after years and years and years of communism and years and years and years of oppression, they realized there is one way to build a future for everybody else, and that is build politics on the word of God in Jesus' name. That's how the ANC was birthed in the Anglican Church, and they built that political struggle on the word of God. And I'll tell you something, my brother and my sister, you take God out of society, things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, until the people have had enough, until the people will stand up and the people say, we want a righteous government. We want a righteous government that will bow to God, that will value the word of God as the norms, that will bring prayer back to our schools, that will bring the Bible back to our schools. In the name of Jesus Christ, there is no other way. You will not build this country by sidelining 87% of this nation, which are Christians. I think more than ever, and I'll get in trouble for saying this, more than ever, we need a political party birthed. You say, but what about the Christian party that is there? The timing was not right, because the struggle was a Christian struggle then. Now, we need politicians who will stand up for Christianity and will defend the faith and will realize, like those in countries that used to be part of the dictatorship of communism, that there is no way without God. Das Kapital, there is no God. You listen to many politicians today, they act like there is no God. You talk to people in power, positions of power, they abuse their power because they do not recognize that there is a God that they will give account to. They will stand before that God one day and they'll give account for the things they did for and against his people. Ukraine, I don't know if you saw it, I retweeted it. One of the greatest marches ever. There were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in Ukraine marching in the streets, celebrating that that country has declared freedom for Christianity, that you can preach the gospel and people can serve God. And hundreds of thousands gathered together to worship God. What is wrong with South Africa that Christianity is being suppressed at the level it is? I'm sorry, I can't not say these things because nobody else is saying it. Can't act like everything is okay and it's not. I sat with a high-ranking police official. I said, crime is a moral issue. It looked like I was talking French to her. She said, the greatest crime now is to fight this coronavirus. I said, do you equate it to the level of murder? She said, it's exactly the same as murder. You want to say that to the girl that just lost her father murdered? You want to say that to the little girl that was just raped? That the highest priority of fighting crime now is making sure that Christians comply? It's evil. No justification for it. Never will be. It's our constitutional right to worship God. You know, if I had no vision, I might have become like everybody else, a little sheep that just went and sat in a corner and just whatever he said, meh, and that meh will become weaker until there's no longer a meh left. Visions and dreams come from God. It's the way that God communicates to his people. It's the way God reveals the future. It's the way God writes the future on your heart. When you talk about visions and dreams, people always get this mystical look or this mysterious look about them. It's like, I have to go find a vision. I have to go find a dream. It's like they want to run. There's a prophet in town, so they run. They want to find a dream. I want to say to you that God never placed visions and dreams in a place where you will not find it. God hid your vision in your dream in the place where He knew you would find it if you seek Him. And where's that place? In your heart. When you draw closer to God and you seek God and you worship God and you spend time in the presence of God, you will see what God has written upon the tablets of your heart. And once you've seen what God has written, nobody else can take it away from you. Philippians 2 verse 13, the Bible says, it's God who works in you both to will and do His good pleasure. So I'm talking about those kids again. Disconnected from an education system. A education system that failed them for whatever reason. Let's not beat about the bush. 500,000 children, we're not even talking about students in the university, that have been disconnected from their future. How are they ever going to catch up? How is it that we in this modern age cannot secure and guarantee the safety of people understanding how this virus works and mutates? How? Nobody's afraid when they climb on a taxi, but everybody's afraid when they have to go to church. So your dream is not outside of you, it's inside of you. John chapter 16 verse 13, the Bible says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you or show you things to come. I'm going to say it again. Where there's no vision, people perish. Where there's no revelation of God's plan for your life, people cast off restraint. That means they become hopeless. Addictions are at an all-time high. Do you realize this? Gender-based violence, record numbers like we've never seen. Teenage pregnancies. It's all a lack of vision. Because where do people find vision? In the presence of God. You take the presence of God out of society. Where do people live? They see through what? Through those eyes. We have hundreds of doctors in our church, and I know that you see these things every day. And I know you vacillate between the picture in your heart and the reality of what you see. I get it. I mean, we see people die all the time. COVID-related, cancer, diabetes, HIV. People have always died, and I don't mean to minimize what is happening. Pandemic, fighting it with faith and science. But we cannot allow this to hijack our future. We never allowed HIV that killed so many people to hijack our future. We came up with solutions. And we said, let's get a hold of a better future. Let's plan for a better future. Let's do whatever we can do to guarantee a future for everybody in South Africa. Come on. So we need everybody at the table. We need everybody to dream together. We need leadership that will not come with a draconian approach to certain sectors of society, but leadership that will give vision to all the role players of society. So what is vision? It's God's plan, God's purpose for your life, for our nation. God has given many promises over South Africa. Vision is described as the picture of God's preferred future for your life, not the reality that you see. It's seeing the end from the beginning. Amen. You're going out in a blaze of glory. Your best days are ahead of you. You are going to build bigger than ever. You are going to be stronger than ever. People say, well, you give people false hope. This is called the gospel of hope. This is not called the gospel that steals the hope of people. This is called the gospel of hope. And if people have vision, they will be willing to sacrifice. Those who have too much land will be willing to empower those who don't have land. Vision will remove self-centeredness, selfishness, from your heart and lead you to a selfless life. Our Father, not my Father, give us this day our daily bread. Let me see my world through the eyes of God. Then I will be a servant and I will sacrifice for a greater cause. Vision is seeing the ultimate purpose of God for your life. It's seeing yourself through the eyes of God. Gideon, mighty man of valor. It's seeing the plan that God has for you. Lift up your eyes and see the land. A land of milk and honey, not thorns and thistles. A beautiful future is what God has in mind for His people. Say amen in Jesus' name, because it's true. So when Nehemiah returns, I have to close, to Jerusalem, and he sees a city in lockdown, a city in decay, a city that for 99 years people tried to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. People were demoralized. I think if we had a barometer to be able to measure the morale of people, you would find it very low. The things that built morale is taken out of society. The church, number one. Entertainment. You know, I know whatever your favorite entertainer is, when you go to a show and there's 200-300 people and whatever he sings, it makes you feel, yes, yes. Isolation. Sport. What, you know, the problem is some of us are still thinking. When there's a stadium of 60,000 people, what sense does it make not to have 10,000 people there? They can social distance so far from one another that it's impossible for that virus to jump from one person to another person. Like this church, 6,500 seats, 50 people allowed. Makes no sense. It's like saying to the shopping center, you can only have 50 people there because the spaza shop can only have 50 people. That's what's done. And we expect it to be little lambs that just comply. We do. For the moment. So when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, he found the people taken captive. You know, the liberation struggle was a spiritual struggle to liberate people from political oppression and from racial oppression and from sexism. It's actually a spiritual liberation because Jesus came to liberate people. But the greatest liberation of them all is spiritual. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? The greatest liberation Jesus ever brought was to bring people into the kingdom of heaven. Think about the many thousands of people that haven't been saved during this lockdown. And although we hand out food parcels, we are evangelizing. Last week, over 1,100 people got saved by the beautiful ladies in the church, which is fantastic. But think if our church was open, how many people would get saved this morning? How many people would be healed this morning? How many marriages would be restored this morning? How many broken hearts would be restored this morning? People are disconnected from the very presence of God, and I'm not okay with it. Never going to be okay with it. So Nehemiah, I have to close. I've been instructed. We're on television. He asks two questions. Listen. Listen, what is the state of the nation? What is the state of the people? What is the state of the nation? Our economy? The morale of the people and the state of the people. Then he comes to take that city out of the ashes and to rebuild that city out of ruins. Our economy, over 40% unemployment. 75% of young people can't get a job and it's getting worse. And we're okay? What is the state of the people? What is the state of the nation? And then he comes with a vision, which I love. Vision. A vision that is so powerful that the vision he gets from God mobilizes everybody in Jerusalem and everybody builds the wall. And a wall that was not completed in 99 years is finished in 52 days. Because Nehemiah, first thing he did was he got off his high horse. He walked among the people. He saw the distress of the people. He saw the brokenness of the people. He heard the despair of the people. And then he came and he went into the presence of God. He got the heart of God for the people. And then he came with a vision that was so powerful that he mobilized everybody. He mobilized civil society. He mobilized business. He mobilized the church. He mobilized everybody to rebuild Jerusalem to be a place of refuge in Jesus' name. I pray for our president every day. I pray for visions and dreams. I pray for godly leaders. I pray for people that will not just be short-sighted and influenced by those around them, but people that will get the heart and the mind of God, that will not be dictated to by UN leaders or by the International Monetary Fund, but it will be leaders that will be stand for South Africa, that will be South African proud, and that will fight for the cause of South Africa and for the people of South Africa. That's not going to happen without the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa. If politicians knew how they were alienating Christians at this moment, they would stand up very quickly, wake up very quickly, and have a meeting with Christians that will help them make this a better country in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So I appeal again. Remove your decree that criminalizes worship. It's a disgrace. Why don't you criminalize number 10 on a taxi? But you will criminalize number 51 in a church building. People say, I rant. I'm not ranting, man. This is an urgent old moment. Not an hour to talk about fairy tales. Our country is suffering. People are suffering. And the church is the only place that will give hope to people. 18 months later in this pandemic, we're in a worse place than ever. You know, I've learned long ago, listen to me, I get a lot of flack, a lot of criticism out of every circle. I don't care. I'm 56, I'm not 20. I don't care what you think about me. But one thing I know is what's happening is unjust, unrighteous, ungodly, and cannot be tolerated. Why Christians are so silent in positions of authority? They'll give account to God one day. I've sat with ministers, I've sat with premiers, I've asked them all, why don't you speak up on behalf of the church? Why? Why do people not speak up on behalf of the church? And don't tell us for safety. We have our own scientists, people that work for the government that have proven we can open churches safely and responsibly. But we are not a herd. Today, I'm not part of it, today, thousands are marching, just pastors, to the union building. They asked me to join that. I said, no, I won't. Because we will appeal to our government one more time. In Australia, Melbourne, civil disobedience broke out yesterday on a scale like that country never thought they would see. I sit in meetings that people don't know about, and We try to suppress certain things because people are ready to go on a level that this country has never seen. And our politicians are not hearing us. They're not hearing us. They're not engaging us. And then the police is used as an iron fist to intimidate people. I mean, we come to church with the Bible and they come to church with machine guns in Johannesburg last week. 3 machine guns while there's 50 people in a building. And you think I'm okay as the spiritual father of those people, the shepherd? I'll never be okay with that level of intimidation. Never. Never. John 3 verse 16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the vision God has for the entire world. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you've lost yourself in this terrible lockdown period where there's not much to be happy about. But I want to tell you that God loves you. And this morning you can make peace with God. Even if you have nothing else, you can make peace with Him. Put your hand on your heart right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give my life to you. I surrender all to you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. Come on, give them a big praise. Give God a praise for them. Come on. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.